Hi, everybody. Well, here we go on another slide and tape session. Are you ready? Alrighty, everybody lean back in their easy chairs and slide number one, please. Okay, slide number one is a picture taken at Natring Air Force Base. And this is looking from the dormitory area over towards the flight line. You'll notice that, as always this time of year, it's perfectly clear in the mornings. And usually thunderstorms building up around the mountains on the rim area there in the afternoons. But this is a very typical clear, hot morning on the train. Slide number two. This is also taken out in the train. You'll notice the tail of a C-123 sticking out behind the building there. This is looking towards the flight line. Slide number three. This is some of the concertina wire surrounding the beach that I had written about in my letters. This is the beach area right off the end of the runway at Natring. It's looking towards the north. And I'll be referring to directions in here just to keep that straight, okay? Just kidding. And you'll notice there's a couple of outhouses there and some little mat-type shelters if you want to get away from the sun, and also there's a lifeguard tower. They fixed it up real nice there. This is slide number four. This is another picture of the beach area looking towards the north, and you can see some of the mountains jutting out along the coast there as you're looking up the coast. Slide number five. This is looking back towards the runway to the west from the beach area. And you can see a C-47 taking off there. Also some graders doing some work along the edges of the runway. They're building some additions to the runway. And the Natring Air Base is in the background there. Slide number six. This is another picture from the beach area looking towards the north. And there was a large yacht that you can see out there in the far, just to the right of center. It looked like some kind of a pleasure boat, probably belonging to some rich Vietnamese. As I pointed out in my letters, the Natring area is one of the resort centers of Vietnam, and anyone that has much money comes up here to spend their holidays. Slide number seven. Another shot of the beach area. This is looking down towards the south, and part of the Navy complex is down there. And you can see a couple of what's called LSTs, the landing ship. And the T, I'm not sure what it stands for, troops or something or not. Anyway, they use these extensively in Vietnam to hire troops and trucks and all of our paraphernalia up and down the coast. In fact, this is the type of ships that were used to hire the 101st up to our present location. Slide number eight. This shot is looking towards the southeast from the beach area. That is an island out there. We do have some buildup, the Navy does, out on the island. That bare strip looks sort of like a fire break. I'm not exactly sure what it is. And also, you can see some barges laying out there. They have considerable amount of goods. Some, you know, real important goods that they can't store safely on shore, they put out there. It turned out they weren't very safe out there either. About a week after I took those pictures, one of those large ships sitting in the harbor there was mined by the Viet Cong, and they sunk it right there in the harbor. Slide number nine. This was taken at Zuc Minh. That's how you pronounce that. And it shows a training area used by the Harbin to train the new soldiers, sort of like we would have at Fort Leonard Wood, maybe, or Camp Carson there, and things like that. This is a typical Army training center. You can't see much of it from this high. I realize this was taken from 2,000 or 3,000 feet. You can see some of the buildings in the area there. And of course, Arvin means the Army of Vietnam. I've said Arvin a lot. I assume you knew what that meant. Slide number 10. Now we're up at Con Juong, and this is where we spent the last month, of course, down there in April. In the foreground, you have my radio jeep. I'll tell you more about that on the next slide. And in the flags there, of course, our flag, and then the one on the right is the Vietnam flag, Republic of Vietnam. The sign in the middle is a picture of the eagle. It says the 101st Airborne, and the Screaming Eagles, of course, is their name. That's what they call themselves, the Screaming Eagles, and that's the eagle is their patch. so that explains it partially. And in the background, the tents now belong to the brigade headquarters. And you'll notice, like all the other pictures you'll see here of tents and stuff, that they're all sandbagged for mortar attacks. It may seem a little strange to you that the sandbags only go up 2 or 3 layers, maybe even only 2 to 3 feet high. Well, the reason for this is that the way a mortar explodes, most of the shrapnel stays, goes in such a pattern that if you fall flat on the ground and stay below 2 or 3 feet, the sandbags will protect you, and normally you won't get hit by the fragments of the mortar. So that's the idea. It would be just too expensive, actually, to dig completely in or to completely surround the tents with sandbags. So the idea is to hit the ground as soon as you can when a mortar comes in. Slide number 11. This is another picture of my radio Jeep. The equipment in the back of that Jeep costs over $100,000. To give you an idea of just how important that Jeep is sitting right there. The sort of a post-looking affair behind there is the UHF antenna. The little narrow whip type antenna there is for VHF. And then there's another antenna on the other side for FM. And so we have a pretty exotic little set of equipment there. It runs off an alternator on the engine, or it can also be powered by batteries, but we try and use the engine as much as possible to save battery life. We don't use these too much, except when we have a group out in the field that we can't reach and we can't stay in contact with, then we send one of our radio operators with these Jeeps into the field with the equipment so that we can talk to them and stay in constant contact by radio with the groups in the field. And I might point out that all of these next series of slides were taken at Conjuan, and I won't keep repeating that, but you'll notice the area there. This is what we call Happy Valley. It's, as you can see, a very pretty area, and surrounded by mountains on all sides. Slide number 12. This is the flight line area at Conjuan. You can see a few Hueys in the background there, the Army choppers. And there's one of our beloved 01E Bird Dogs taxiing in. And this is looking to the west. Slide number 13. This is another picture of the ramp area at Conjuan. You can see the PSP that I was telling you about. It's actually a bunch of seats of steel. It comes in about 4 foot by 14 feet, I think, squares. And they piece it together, and it makes a fairly good ramp. You notice the corrugations in it, and there's little holes so that the water can drain out. And it's not very smooth. We've torn up a few tail wheels on it, but it does make a pretty good parking area, and it beats the mud anyway. The airplane on the right there is a U-10. We call those the Speak Birds. Our car sign are Speak so-and-so, Speak 1-2, Speak 2-3. These are the birds that have the loudspeakers in them. That's the kind that Tom Shutt is flying. And they go around and drop leaflets and give all this propaganda out on their loudspeakers. The airplane on the left is a C-7A Caribou. That's one of the cargo planes, and it can get into real short areas. It can land in less than 1,000 feet and take off in the same. And they bring ice and mail and all kinds of goodies in to us every day. Slide number 14. This is a shot looking to the west across the flight line. Again, you can see a bunch of the Army Hueys sitting on their copter pads over there and some of the mountains in the background. This black area in the foreground is some of this Pima primer I've been telling you about. It's kind of an oil that combines with dirt to keep the dust down. The Army invented this so that they could make copter pads very quickly in a forward area so that when they land, their chopper blades won't stir up a lot of dirt to get in their engines. Now, it also turned out to work very excellent on the roads. So we've been using it to pave our roads around the area. It really keeps the dust down. Real good stuff. Slide number 15. This is a shot of the Happy Valley from the air. Looking towards the south, down the runway, and to the right is most of the brigade headquarters, and further back behind the runway there, down the valley, you can see more of the Italians. The particular area I was living in is down there, to the south. About in the middle of the picture there. And of course, that bear I ran across the picture is a wing brace. I'm sure you realize that. The mountains in this area ran anywhere from 2,000 up to about 4,000 feet, with a few peaks up around 5,000 or 6,000. But most of them, you might compare this range here to the Rampart Range there in Colorado, right beside the Academy. Very similar, except a much heavier growth on the mountains, of course, because they got much, much more rain. Slide number 16. This is another aerial view of the 101st Airborne area and the runway. This is looking to the southwest. That runway, incidentally, is about 3,000 feet long. That's the minimum distance we can have for C-130s. That's the reason they make it that long. For the caribous and for us, they would only need to be about 1,500 feet long. But they need a little more runway for the 130s. In fact, it amazes me how those big old jobbies can get in there even in 3,000 feet. They do a fantastic job coming in there heavily loaded, landing on that little old narrow steel planking that's only 3,000 feet long. Slide number 17. This is another aerial view of the area. It's looking to the west-southwest. And gives you a little better view of the layout of the Brigade Headquarters, which is just behind the runway itself, sort of in the upper left-hand corner of the picture there. The big black squares at the center bottom of the picture are fuel cells. They are like big rubber bladders, and they lay on the ground, and I don't know how many thousands of gallons they hold each, but that is the fuel area there, and there's a lot of gas. Slide number 18. This is looking to the west-northwest this time, and you can see a little bit more of the area where the battalions were. That's in the sort of the lower left corner of the picture. This is where my particular battalion was also. And we were separated a little from the brigade headquarters and the flight line, as you can see. This road running up through here is Highway 21, which is one of the main roads in Vietnam. It's just a little, narrow, dumpy, dirty road, but nevertheless, it's one of the main arteries in Vietnam. They don't have any roads that aren't bumpy, and there's only about one that I've seen that's paved for any great distance, and that's Highway 1 running along the coast. And in many cases, it's gravel also. So transportation is a real problem over here if you don't go by air. Slide number 19. This is taken right beside the road there at Con Juan. These are some mountain yard kids, and they sell pap and stuff to the soldiers there. There's one of the GIs that doing a little bartering there for some candy or pap or something or another. These kids are real enterprising, and it's amazing. Even the little ones are real quick at learning how to make a buck off an American GI. Slide number 20. This is taken near the flight line, and in fact, you can see the windsock there in the background. And of course, in the foreground, there's a truck unloading the mail that was just flown in by a caravan. And everybody watches for this. This is where all the mail is unloaded, and of course, it's hauled off to the brigades and broken down into the battalions. And then's when the mail is delivered to the battalion areas. That's when we go pick it up. And this is a big moment of the day, of course. Slide 21. This next bunch of slides I took on a day where the clouds were down remind me a lot of in Colorado, where they just sort of chopped the mountains in half. We had kind of a low ceiling. These were taken in April when this particular area was still transitioning from the monsoon season to the dry season. And so we did have a lot of low clouds in the mornings. This particular area is taken in my battalion area. And we called this the parade ground. We didn't have many parades. In fact, we only had one formation, and it was not exactly a, well, I'll take it back. They did have one parade where they awarded medals and things for the last campaign. And then they had one other formation where they honored the dead of this last campaign. It was a real touching type ceremony where they played taps and all that, and really gets to you. And the brown board there with a white seat on it, that's our movie screen. Beautiful, huh? Slide 22. This is, in the center of the picture, there is a picture of an Australian shower. This is a little different layout from some of the other slides I sent of the Australian showers, and that the bag is held up by three pegs instead of the more exotic wooden type that was built by some of the enterprising GIs around here. Slide 23. This is a picture of the pep tent area. This is where our coolie labor lives. This is where the Commodore paratroopers, each one has his own pup tent, and this is where they live when they're in the rear. Now, the rear is actually the home base, you might say, or the base camp. It's referred to as the rear in the Army, and most of these tents are unoccupied at the moment because most of the guys are in the field. But when they come back, this is where they stay in these little pup tents. It's pretty grim living. Slide 24. This is a picture of the type of tent that I lived in. These are called the octagonal tents. And they had these for all of the officers in the area. And you'll notice how we sandbag around the edges of them about 2 to 3 feet high. These sandbags also helped haul a little bit of water out when it rained, but not too great. The larger tents in the background are where we had our meals set up. We ate in the tents there, and also battalion headquarters, such as the intelligence sections and operations and personnel and stuff, they're located in those tents also. Slide 25. This is a CP type tent. This is used by the battalion commanders and also the medics and some of the more important elements of the battalion. You'll notice a heli flying by there and just above the CP tent. And these were all taken in my battalion area. Slide 26. This is me, Bethy and Pammy. That's Daddy you're looking at. I'm standing there in the mud, and if I look disgusted, I am. I've just finished digging a trench to try and run some of the water away from my tent. It was still sprinkling when this picture was taken, so I just took my bathing suit on and decided to hell with it and started digging. And I did manage to root some of the water down through the center of that area there so that it didn't completely flood our tents out. This was right after a real toad stringer we'd had about 30 minutes before. Slide 27. This is another picture of the same area, and I just took these pictures to forever remind myself how miserable it was when it rained. As you can see, it turned into a real lap rally. Strangely enough, though, this ground absorbed the moisture fairly quickly, and in another day or two, you could hardly tell that it had rained at all. Slide 28. This is another picture of one of the low areas where the water drained to. And that's looking across to one of the other battalions, which was located right beside us on the other side of what was a road. It's now a lake. Slide 29. This is a picture of a Mountain Yard village, which was located right across the road from the runway there. And this is typical of the Mountain Yard architecture. I'll show you a closer slide here in just a second. Slide 30. This is a closer-up view of the Mountain Yard area. This is a very typical village. You'll notice that they build their homes up on stilts, which is a good idea for two reasons. When it rains, it keeps them out of the mud. And when it's in the dry season, it keeps them away from the worst heat, which of course is right on the ground, right near the ground itself. So it also gives the air a chance to circulate under the floor, and so these guys really aren't so dumb. This is the most practical way to live over there. And we've been learning a few lessons from them, believe me. Slide 31. Another picture of the Mountain Yard village. Usually there are several families living in each of these huts. And of course, the cows and pigs and stuff just roam a wheel in the whole area. You'll notice it's quite clean. We were rather impressed with this. Inside the hut, it wasn't very clean and it smelled terrible, but in the area itself, they kept it quite clean, we thought. Slide 32. This was taken down south of Conjuang in part of the mountain area there. You can see my white phosphorus rockets That's our smoke rocket that we used to mark the targets with, sticking out there from its launcher on the wingtip there. You'll notice that the visibility isn't too good. This is rift and shallow in this area. The mountain yards burn the slice and burn method up in the mountains. They just cut down an area, burn it off, and then grow some crops until the soil rots out, and then go to another area. And so the air is often quite hazy, like it is in this picture. Slide 33. This is looking down into our river canyon, and it's typical of what I was telling you about how the trees just grow right out of the rock. You'll see that there's that solid rock where the creek is running, and on each side is very, very heavy vegetation. Slide 34. This is a shot of the waterfalls. It's the same ones I sent you in those Menarca slides, only it came out better. And one of the prettiest areas in this Conchuang area that we were working in. This is just north of Zucme, if you're interested. And you can see again what I mean about the trees growing right out of the rocks. I don't see how that many trees can grow in solid rock like that, but it's very thick if you get into it. Slide 35. This is another shot of the waterfall, looking almost right down at it. I got a little lower than I should have to get this picture, but it did come out pretty nice. Slide 36. This is a picture of a typical mountain growth. What I thought was so strange over here, you'll notice that the trees grow on the tops of the mountains, and the bottoms of the mountains are covered by a grass. Now that grass doesn't look very thick, but it's actually kind of an elephant grass, and a lot of it is waist deep or higher. So even it is not the easiest thing to travel in, but once you get up into the timber area there, most of those trees run anywhere from 100 to 200 feet tall, and then there's undergrowth under it, so it's pretty thick. Slide 37. This is a closer up view of some of the jungle area there, and it gives you more of an appreciation for how thick this stuff really is, and also what a job it is to find Charlie down in that stuff. You can see the problems that paratroopers have tramping through those trees trying to find him, and to find his caves and his tunnels. Also, it's a pretty good view of the rocket launching system there. You can see those little wires running out to the back. That's what ignites the rocket. And it's a fairly simple system and works quite well. Well, it looks like our time is about right. I see my tape is about to run out. I'm going to take the other side at 3 3/4. And so you better put your little cap stand on before you're on the other side. I'm going to do a little experiment with some Vietnamese music. I'm going to tape off the radio. And then I'll also throw in a little gabbing about what I've been doing the last few days. I'll see you on the other side at 3 3/4.